All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back on a Sunday. Hope you're having a nice one. Maybe it's warming up. Is it warming up there, Michael Lombardi, on the East Coast?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really nice day today. I'm excited for it. Yeah, I think so. You know, it's the sun's out. It's April. What was it? April the 18th. Yeah, we're getting closer to nice weather. Yeah.
Is our buddy Dominic going to be out?
I'm sure Dominic's got his father doing something with him today. I saw my man Leo and Dino. They're already out there, but they're in Charlotte, so the weather's much nicer down there. So they can get out and about and play a little baseball on the street. So that's all good. And then I'm sure my man will do something. I think he's probably working on some project or something on the floor. You know, he's got those sets. The amazing thing is he can take an iPad, and within about 2 seconds, he knows exactly what he's doing. And he's, you know, it's amazing what these kids can do with it. Look at my man.
Look at him basking in the sun. Maybe we can throw that one up. That's Dominic.
Yeah, look at it. Yeah, look at my man there. You know, he's a star.
What a guy.
And he's Millie's best friend. I mean, they're best friends. If I call Dominic up right now and said, who's your best friend? He'd say, Mama.
Oh, really? That's adorable, actually.
Yeah, that's his best friend.
And so we'll get to Charlotte here. We'll get to
I barely get a hello. He calls me. He nicknamed me. When he could first start talking, he nicknamed me because I used to play peekaboo with him. So he named me Peaky. He nicknamed me Peaky, and that has stuck. So instead of being Papa, I'm Peaky.
Maybe he's a Peaky Blinders fan, or maybe he doesn't like you because he loves Justin Fields. One of the two.
Maybe he does. And you know, so if I call the house on FaceTime, I get, hi Peak, how are you? And then he turns but then if he sees Millie, oh my God, it's like tough to deal
just
with.
Just found out. What do you think? What do kids watch? What does Dom watch? What does Dominic watch on television?
You know, I mean, there's a lot
YouTube.
Of stuff. He watches that. Something Einstein for kid. He watches that program.
Oh, Smarty Pants, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves that one. I know that. You got to watch that. And then we always watch the Mickey Mouse Club. I mean, he always wants to come in my office and watch that. So,
okay.
You know.
All right, because I just learned that Steph's favorite game show, as the theme continues, is Match Game with Gene Rayburn. I mean, you remember that?
Oh, I love that long mic he had. Gene Rayburn used to have that long mic. And I mean, Charles Nelson Reilly, they were on all the – Rosemarie. I mean, all those people. I was looking up in the break on who was on Hollywood Squares. George Gerbils was down there in the right corner where Stephanie is. And, you know, Rosemarie. Paul Lim was always center square. Nipsey Russell. Thank you, Stephanie. It's nice to have you contribute. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. John Stamos. John Amos was down there. It was, you know, all the 70s. Tony Randall. Betty White was on it, too. Yeah. God bless Betty White. How about her?
Still kicking. What about
If you had the over on Betty White, you cashed. Oh. If you had the over on Betty White, you cashed.
I mean,
yeah.
85 was juiced up big time to the over.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably juiced to the over, but you long since cashed. I mean, really, seriously, that's well done. And looking good.
Looking great. I like the no whammy, no whammy, no whammy, but we digress. You remember that one?
All right,
one?
Here we go. Okay, 10,000. 10,000. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Let's get to the South. NFC, season win totals.
Don't we have a break we have to get to first? Don't we have an action update?
Thank you.
We should go there, don't you?
I was waiting for Berman to text me.
I'm not trying to be the host.
No. I was waiting for Berman to text me. It's time to break.
I didn't want to get involved in the South, and then all of a sudden Stephanie in a panic saying, we got to go to an action update. Here comes Ron Flatter.
No, kick it to it. Go ahead. Set it up. You just did, right? Action update.
Let's go. We got an action update coming. Pay attention.
Coming back with the NFC South.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The RBC Heritage at Harbortown, Hilton Head, South Carolina. Two-time Harbortown winner Stuart Sink, a five-shot lead heading into the final round at 18 under. He's a $2.75 favorite to win the event for the third time. Colin Morikawa, five shots off the pace, 13 under par, plus 450. Emiliano Grillo, 12 under, 20-1. Matt Wallace and Soon J.M. both at 11-1. Wallace, 40-1 with the tournament. M is 30-1. Dodgers and Padres wrap up their series today at Petco Park. Dodgers $1.20 favorite with Trevor Bauer on the mound. Our sports betting experts are analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing every day. Plus, our NFL experts are getting ready for the 2021 NFL Draft. Get all our in-depth insights and point spread weekly, our best bets daily email, and 24/7 video coverage. VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Okay, it's a season-long sweat. NFC, we'll go to the South. Season win totals. You bet. You sit back. It's fun to sweat it throughout the season. These numbers are provided by our sponsor, BetMGM. Michael Lombardi grinding away. Either Hollywood Squares or the Carolina Panthers. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers, where you've got some vested interest. You got a crew down there, of course.
Yep, I sure do.
And
yep.
It was, here's the thing about the Panthers last year. A five-win team, Michael. I'll tell you right. This. The difference, my Detroit Lions went down there. And Patricia was the head coach, of course. The difference in just teams trying, your son's a coach on that staff, but Rule and that team just, listen, the talent wasn't, there wasn't a big discrepancy as far as talent between the Lions and Panthers, but the Panthers were going hard and the Lions had quit. Now, five-win team, I'll let you jump off here.
Well, look, I mean, they went out to Los Angeles and beat the Chargers in the opening, you know, for the first win under Matt Rule. Then they came back and soundly beat the Arizona Cardinals early in the season when the Cardinals were actually playing well. And then they beat Atlanta in Atlanta, good game. And then they lose a tough one to Chicago, turn the ball over, got New Orleans a chance to kick a field goal at the end of the game to send it to overtime, can't make it. They lose badly to Atlanta again. Then they go to Kansas City and probably play Kansas City better than anybody in the National Football League right. All year. Lose on a miss, you know, they have a long field goal. They lose that. They get blown out. They shut out your Lions. They come back, a one-point loss to the Vikings, tough loss. They should have won the Viking game. You know, they lose to Denver. They go to Green Bay on that Christmas Eve game or right before Christmas. Remember that? We were yep. having Burnfest out in the parking lot, out in the backyard. We were watching it outside in the cold. Lit. It was great. It was awesome. And, you know, and then it beat the Washington football team, a playoff team, at the end of the year. So, you know, to me, this is a team that was really close. And, you know, I thought Mike Davis did a good job of running the ball. Robbie Anderson made big plays. They're going to miss Samuel, but DJ Moore comes back. And they didn't do it. They did it all without McCaffrey. I mean, and I think Sam Darnold will give them improvement over Teddy. I really do. So my number for this, I think, is 8. I think they're at 8. That means they're 8-9. So I think that's right. I think they can improve by 3 wins from last year.
Okay, let's go ahead and throw up the number for the Carolina Panthers. It's 7.5, bet MGM, 110 up and down, true number. You want to go over that total?
I think that's probably right. I think they'll be a better team. I mean, that's just a 3-game. I mean, I just cited, I went through it because I think you could pick 4 or 5 games on their schedule that they easily could have won. And I think there's no doubt that they are going to be better this year than they were last year. They're going to get more. They know more about themselves, which totally. Is really important the second year as a head coach.
8 wins, adding a game to the schedule does not seem out of the question for a team in the Panthers. Joe Brady, Sam Darnold, there could be some magic there. And I'm guessing your son agrees. The Rule effect is real. I mean, he's a good coach.
He's a really good coach, and I mean, I think that they're in this thing for the long haul. Do I think they would take a quarterback at 8, even though they have Darnold? I don't think so, but I think they'll certainly, if it depends on which one is there that they like, they might. I think ideally if a quarterback made it to them at 8 and they could get a huge trade, they could trade down and pay for Sam Darnold. That's the beautiful thing about what they did. I thought they did a really smart thing. Trading 2022 assets for Sam Darnold, because all they have to do is move down in this draft or next draft and recoup whatever they paid for him. So they basically get him for free. Because when you move down, you get a bunch of picks and you say, well, you lose the chance at the player you wanted. You really probably didn't want that player at that point. That's what fans miss on. You know, if you have a cluster of 7 or 8 guys that you like in the draft, right? And I'll pick either one of these 7 players, either one of them. And I trade down and I get an extra 2 and a 3, you know, just to do that. And I'm still going to end up with one of these 7s. How did I give up anything? The only reason you feel like you give up something is when you fall in love, when you have to have something. And that's not how you run drafts.
Yeah, we believe in love here on the Lombardi Line. And
we do.
The Falcons, by the way, won 4 games. The expectancy was closer to 7, 7.5. So they underperformed even in those games. Now, I'll let you jump. A lot of holes on this roster.
A lot of holes on this roster. And I think that that's the real concern is can they get this aging roster? Can they fix it? Are they going to be better off? I mean, I like Arthur Smith as an offensive play caller. They don't have that running back that you really need to pound it in there that Derrick Henry gave to Arthur Smith and his Tennessee offense. But I do think there'll be an uptick. I do think there'll be an uptick. And I think the Falcons and the Panthers are probably, if the Panthers are at 7.5, I got to believe the Falcons will probably be at 7.5 too. I think they're very similar, and I think they're off seasons. And these two teams, I think their draft are going to determine where they go. If they take a quarterback, over because it'll six, maybe not help them in the long term.
Okay, he says 7.5. Let's throw up the number. Atlanta Falcons, 7.5 is the true number. Up and down 110 juice. Good job. He's getting hot. Do you have a lean? Well, I guess you just gave us your lean based on the draft.
Yeah, that's what and look, I'm not hot. I just based it off of Carolina. I think that that's, you know, I think that it's hard to differentiate those two teams together. But here's the thing. I think you got to really pay attention to this as well, is they're playing against a bad division. They're playing against the NFC East, you know, and if you can get fat and happy playing against the Eagles, playing against the Giants, playing against the Washington and the Cowboys. I know Washington's a good team, but that NFC East isn't the beast of the East any longer. So you can kind of juice up some wins if you can. And then look, you've got the Jaguars, you know, you got to go to Jacksonville. You got a chance to win that one. So there's some games on that schedule that they could win 8 games. I think you could find 8 wins in that schedule. Plus, I think Will Hill made a great point. I think some of these dome teams that get the return of fans into the stands, you get that back in there. All of a sudden, that's going to steal you 1 or 2 wins in your home schedule.
Okay. Lean over then on the Falcons. We continue with the South. Let's go to the Saints. Obviously, a cap situation that is not envious. This is a team that went 12-4 and won the division last year. Michael, go ahead.
You know, this is a hard one for me because I you don't have the Drew factor any longer, right? So you know they're playing with Winston, and you're scared to death about his ability to protect the football and handle the team, you know. And then where are they going to go in that sense? And then how good are they? They're in a lot of cap trouble. Right. They're in a lot of cap trouble, so they can't really improve their off a roster. Defensively, they've suffered some losses in terms of where they are. You know, they lose Hendrickson, who played really well. They lost him to the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know if he'll be the same player for the Bengals that he was for the Saints. But, you know, losing him, they lost Malcolm Brown inside. I don't think they're as strong fundamentally a defensive tackle as they've been in the past. I think they'll try to draft one of those guys. So I'm going to say it's going to take a giant mother may I step back here. They still have one of the most dynamic players in the league in Alvin Kamara, and they got a great coach. But I'm going to go 9.5 here. I think 9.5 is the number, and I think you're going to play whether – if you're positive about Winston, you play the over. If you're not, you play the under.
Okay, Michael Lombardi says 9.5 for the Saints officially, 110 up and down. It's 9, I bet MGM.
Yeah, I mean, they put it right there. So, you know, what you're saying is that if they get to – it's the same thing I was saying at 9.5.
Well, you're right about the step back. It's a 12-win team all the way down to 9 as far as the expected win total.
But I think what they did was if you bet the over, you know, you got to get to 10. You know, what you did is you put 8 into it. And I don't know if they're going to lose 9 times, right? So there's 9 losses. I don't think Sean Payton's going to lose 9 times. I think he'll figure out the quarterback position before he loses 9 times. Plus, we know that they've kicked the tires on a lot of other quarterbacks. Now, they're handicapped. More than anything, I think they're handicapped by their inability to make moves based on the salary cap. So I think that's what makes the number 9 more realistic. That's why I had it at 9.5, because 9, if it goes under, you win. If it goes over at 10, you win. I thought 9.5 would get more action from both sides.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's going to play the under here. Yeah. Why would you, you know, the 8-9, do you think the Saints are an 8-9 team? When you look over the landscape of what they've done the last 5 years, you know, they're second in wins the last 3 years. They're third in the last 5 years. You're asking a lot. I mean, to me, the reason I quote those numbers, Patrick, is because that's an organizational fabric that you're looking at. That you're saying to yourself, I'm betting on this. You know, I'm betting on them. And I think that's something to be smart about. And so, you know, you're going to have to find 9 losses somewhere in there to go under. I think that's a challenge.
So much belief in Peyton amongst the betting public as well.
And I mean, you know, he's won a lot of games. Like I said, the last three years, he's 39-12. The last 5 years, he's 59-28, counting playoffs.
Last one up, South. They won a Lombardi. They won 11 games. The Bucs, what do you got?
Well, and they return everybody too, right? They return everybody, and nobody seems to be concerned about the quarterback aging, you know. And so, if The Chiefs were what? The Chiefs were at 12 or 11. Were the Chiefs at 12 or 11?
Chiefs were at 12.
12. So we thought the Chiefs were going to lose five games. I don't see that. I thought the over. I had the Chiefs at 13.5. I say they're at 12, too. I'm going to go with the Chiefs with this one.
Okay.
You know, I think they'll go with the I think they'll go 12. But I think there's more margin for error to go under if they posted at 12. I think the Bucs will have some trouble getting their players focused and concentrating. It's always hard to repeat. So, you know, I think that would be the challenge. And then, you know, look, they play the NFC East, too, and they play the AFC East.
Let's throw the number up because your margin
Brady
of error.
Returns. Where do you think? Oh, 11.5.
Yeah, your margin of error point was correct. You just nailed it. It is
right,
juiced
so
up a little bit to the over.
Let me ask you this. When will that Patriot Buck game be played? And who gets it? Because you know ESPN, NBC, Fox, all want that game. I mean, CBS can't get it technically because CBS has, you know, CBS is the AFC package. So the visiting team in the past controls the network, right? Now, they flip these things around quite a bit anymore. But for this game, right, you know Fox put this as their number one game. You know NBC put this as their number one game. And you know ESPN put this as their number one game. And if you're BetMGM, I think it's a pretty good – you should probably lay some odds on that, on who gets that game. That could get some action.
You said 12. It is juiced up on the 11.5 at minus 120 to the over. So headed that way, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you've got to be really careful about this team. But I do think the schedule favors them. You know, they're playing the AFC East, so that helps. They're playing the NFC East, right? They have the Cowboys, Giants, Washington. So, you know, anytime you can get those kind of schedules in your favor, and then you're banking on Mr. Brady, the greatest of all, staying 100% healthy, which, you know, he has given no indication that there's any dent in the tires or any dent in the car.
We got one division to go. We saved the toughest maybe for last. Start with the Seahawks, NFC West, who won 12 games, won the division last year at 12-4. Okay, I'll throw it to you. Is there going to be a regression that you saw like with the Saints? Let's go.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. So they fire Brian Schottenheimer, who, you know, was trying to do what Pete wanted him to do. They ran the ball a little bit way too much. Everybody wanted Russ to cook. And then when Russ started cooking and turning the ball over, everybody didn't want Russ to cook anymore. So, and then their defense was so bad during the season that I thought that, you know, it was going to be problematic. I think this, let me start the other way. I think the two best teams that the bettors probably see are the Rams and the 49ers. I think those probably are better than the Seattle. I think just on the surface, because of Stafford and because of Kyle Shanahan's ability to coach in San Francisco, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo or Mac Jones or Trey Lance. So let's start with that. And I think that this is the third-ranked team in that division. So I'm going to say they're 9 to 9.5 on the win total.
Okay, let's throw it up. BetMGM, 9.5. You nailed it. 9.5 on the Seahawks.
Which then to me, you know, is what they're saying to you is that they're not going to be able to fix their defensive issues. You know, you're going to be a little concerned. They're going to be a little conservative offensively on where they want to go and how they want to handle that. And I like the fact that they're going to try to run the Rams scheme up there. More play action, you know, give Russell a chance to run, in essence, the Baker Mayfield scheme, which is really ideal for him. A little bit more under center. You know, yeah, you can still cook it, Russ, but we're going to give you some easier throws. I mean, if you just put a reel, and I don't mean this in any disrespect towards Baker Mayfield at all, but if you just put a reel of all of Baker Mayfield's throws down the field, how wide open those receivers were. Like, they were high school wide open. And he made all the throws, and he did great. And I think it's the perfect example of the scheme meets the player, right? And so, you know, and I think that that's something that hasn't really been the driving force in Russell Wilson's career. Now, maybe this offense can, and maybe this offense will change that a little bit. And I hope so, because I think Seattle's got a good team. I think their defense improved during the course of the season last year. They got better, you know, and especially when they got some pass rush. You know, now they've signed Alden Smith. They got Dunlap back from there. They re-signed him. LJ Collier hasn't been the guy. But to me, Shane Waldron is going to be the key component here. What does he do offensively to help this team? And can they help this offensive line out? They signed Gabe Jackson. Okay. You know, are they going to be good enough up front? We'll see.
Posted number 9.5 at BetMGM for the Seahawks. Let's start with the Rams. We'll come back and finish it up. The Rams 10-6 last year. Michael, go ahead and jump off.
Well, I think, you know, the Rams have really improved, and they've made one move to improve, and that's, I think, Matthew Stafford's significantly an upgrade over Jared Goff, especially throwing the ball down the field. So that, to me, just gives them a chance. Now, here's my problem with the Rams, if you want to bet the over on this total, is you got to hope they stay healthy, and that's a big hope. They don't have depth. They do not have depth. I mean, their left tackle, Andre Whitworth, is coming back. They have nobody behind him. And we know Stafford's prone to get hit if he's in there. And then he can move around, don't get me wrong. You know, when they just – if they could guarantee me that 22 guys are going to stay healthy for the Rams for 17 games, then I'd say, you know, no doubt. The win total should probably be 10.5, maybe even 11, 10.5, somewhere in there. But I think, to me, that's a hard prediction to make. They have no depth and no cap room. So I'll go 10.5.
Okay, throw it up quickly. The Rams, 10. We'll come back and discuss. 10 on the Rams, who did win 10 games last year. Remember, add a game to the schedule. And Michael Lombardi, everybody wants Russ to cook. You kind of sleep on the fact that I made salmon and couscous last night. We come back.
Go. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah,
I cook too. Thanks, Russ.
I love it.
Shout
I love
to Ciara.
It.
Ciara? Ciara? We come back. It's the Lombardi Line. Racing fans, first best place for you wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI assisted picks. It's all there, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas100 today and get up to $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. That's vsin.com/horses and the promo code is Vegas100. Listed pitcher was Strasburg in DC today. He's not going to pitch, he just went to the IL. So we'll have news from Josh on that. It's Arizona and Washington. It was supposed to be Bumgarner and Strasburg. So
yeah, I mean, look, our man Will Hill, he's even a doctor now. He's running the Vikings. He's running the Lakers. And now he called the injury. He said that Strasburg was rubbing his shoulder. He wants full credit for it, Patrick. 100%. Everybody wants credit. It's amazing. I love it. Everybody. Berman wants credit for anything. Will, you know, Millie, everybody, you got to get credit. It's my idea. You know, we're going to give it to you. We're here to please.
Hey, you can have it. You deserve it, all of you. We've got two teams to get to. Let's get through them, and then we'll move on. We got Thomas Gable and Josh Applebaum. Next up, we got through the Seahawks and Rams. Let's go Cardinals. Finished 8-8 last year, Michael. What do you got?
Well, look, I think if you study the last 9 games of the season, and you really study them.
Ugly.
Yeah. 3-6. One of the wins is against Buffalo on a Hail Mary. Right, they beat Philadelphia and they beat the New York Football Giants. That's that. Third down, our man, you know, is Kyler Murray struggles on third down. 54% completion, under 7 yards per attempt, under 6 yards per attempt on third down. So, you know, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. And they love to sign older players. You know, they love to sign the J.J. Watts, the A.J. Green. I mean, it's almost like Steve Keim thinks he's going to get a compensatory pick if he signs a guy who goes into the Hall of Fame at the end of his career. So I don't have love for this team. I'm going 7.5. I know I'll be low, but I'm going 7.5, 8 at the most, because I don't think this is going to be a good team that can stay 17 games and consistently play. Because remember what Buddy Ryan once said. There is a place in football for the little man. It's just not in front of the big man.
Well, you nailed it with your feeling 7.5 was a little low, because the number for the Cardinals is 8, 110 up and down with the juice, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't love this team. I don't love it at all. I think the quarterback is sensational and explosive and fun to watch. But that's a game. Can he do it over a longer period? And I think when you look at the second half of the schedule, the last 9 games of the season, and I understand they weren't great at corner. I mean, Patrick Peterson, who's now in Minnesota, got called for holding 14 times or pass interference, some combination of defensive infractions. So they didn't play well. They didn't have another corner. Buda Baker's sensational. They lost Chandler Jones. I mean, Hassan Riddick played really well coming off the edge for them. And he went and signed in Carolina, but they replaced it with J.J. Watt. They get Chandler back. So there's a lot of hope. You know, Larry Fitzgerald hasn't decided, but Larry Fitzgerald was the second leading receiver on the team and averaged under 8 yards a catch. I mean, do you really want him back? I mean, another Hall of Fame. Are you going to get a compensatory pick when he goes in the Hall of Fame too? Because you got A.J. Green, who Kimes said wasn't the, you know, did not look. Look, I love A.J. Green. There's no one you could like more as a player. Quiet, hardworking, dedicated. But the way he played last year, he looked like it was time to maybe hang up the cleats. And perhaps he's hurt. Perhaps he wasn't 100%. And that's always the case. So there's always that. But based on what we saw last year, it's hard to convince me that A.J. Green still has gas left in the tank.
Also not unreasonable to ask, do they have an offensive coordinator playing coach? Because he did not do well at Texas Tech either. Okay, let's move on. We've got 49ers. Last one here. 6-10 last year. You run with it.
You know, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the quarterback, or is it Mac Jones will be the quarterback, or Trey Lance will be the quarterback? I worry about how good they're going to be on defense. I think they'll be better on defense because they're going to change the scheme a little bit. I think they're going to be a little bit more adaptable. I'll go 10 wins here just to keep it even with the Los Angeles Rams. I think they're the two best teams that better see as the betting market because there's a lot of love and carryover in terms of trust with Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, Michael Lombardi says 10 wins on the 49ers. It is exactly 10. You're nailing it here, up and down 110. And on the juice, go ahead.
Well, the only reason I didn't nail it, Patrick, I mean, I just went with the Rams. I think they're the two best teams. I don't think if I had to play one, I would take the Rams. But once again, I think the Rams, you got to be really careful. Can Whitworth play left tackle all the time? I mean, can he stay in there? I think this 49er team, we know they're going to run the ball, right? We know he's going to get some kind of quarterbacking play better than he had last year when Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard were playing. Whether he keeps Garoppolo or not remains to be seen. But they will get better quarterbacking play, and they still are going to be able to be as good defensively because they'll play from in front, and the defense will only play 28 minutes because they will control the football offensively.
That's all 32. Michael Lombardi, I'm not sure.
What grade do I get from you? Do I get a grade from you?
A plus? I mean, I think there were three teams you were off on. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, those are the ones we should focus on because we may be able to make some money on
okay.
those.
Okay, great job. NFC down the hatch. Coming up next, we'll head out to the Borgata. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook manager, here on a Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's a VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, football season, it never ends. It's time to get your bets ready for the draft. The team and VSiN, we're evaluating the prospects. Got everything covered, including picks and live coverage from Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. Learn more now. Go to VSiN.com. And again, you can get a free trial right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. We welcome you back, Michael Lombardi, Jersey. We're going to head out to the coast of Jersey there. In Atlantic City, talk to the race and sportsbook manager, Thomas Gable of the Borgata, as we welcome Thomas in. Thomas, we were just talking about the NFC East and season win totals. Where are you at on the Eagles?
So we have the Eagles, I think it's 6.5 right now. And this is a team that there's been three Super Bowls played since the Eagles won theirs. And I think for the first time, really since that Super Bowl win, the fan base here is realizing, hey, we may not, this isn't the same team. We may not have a shot again this year at the Super Bowl. So it's really interesting. One of the things I really enjoy about season wins and just betting in general is the psychology behind it. And, you know, Michael always jokes about the Eagles fans not wanting to take the points and just betting the money line on games. And but there has kind of been a shift here amongst the fan base now where it's like, hey, we're not really in that Super Bowl honeymoon phase anymore now with Doug out and Wentz is gone. So it's really kind of an interesting mindset. But yet you still have – I still hear fans saying, well, Howie Roseman had a great offseason. This is even prior to getting to the draft. He had a great offseason. Well, did he really? I don't know. Michael, what's your take here on this offseason?
I mean, fired up.
It's
I love
unbelievable.
It. I love it.
Well, you know, I think there's so much perception, right? So you just said there's been three Super Bowl winners since the Eagles won, right? If I were to say to both of you, where do the Eagles rank in wins over the last 3 years? Would you say they're in the top 10? No. Are they somewhere between 20? Yeah, they're 19th overall. Over the last 5 years, they're 13th. So this hasn't been – so they are truly the classification of an organization that Coach Walsh said back in 1984 that there's moments where they'll have a great season. But because they have no organizational culture or really a foundation of who they are, they can never maintain it. And so, you know, we saw the article in the paper with The Athletic. I wrote about it as well, about how they are constantly searching for answers. They're, you know, they have consultants and they have somebody helping them. They value the head coach in the role that they want him in. They do not value the head coach to lead the organization. They think the organization leads the head coach. Big difference. And I think that's why. And I think fans have now seen this team. They held on to players. There was no ability to say, look, we're not bringing Jason Peters back. I don't care, you know, what the fans want. He can't play left tackle. He can't play left guard. He's going to get hurt. It'll be a 7-game. We're just going to throw money away. Let's bring Jason Peter back. The Inquirer says, let's bring. So we bring him back. You know, let's sign DeSean Jackson. Let's have a reunion tour. Okay, we'll bring him back. What's he done? 2 years. At some point, you have to understand what's going on. And I think this is the year they pay the pulper. This is the year that they have to pay the freight for what they've done in the past. And, you know, everybody thinks they're just going to turn it on and have a great draft. I'm not sure that's the case. I agree with you, Thomas.
Hey, TG, how about the Giants, your number and your thoughts?
So the Giants we have set at 7, 110 on both sides. So the Giants are an interesting case. You're always going to get Giants money here. If I tell you, Patrick, who has the most tickets written on them to win the Super Bowl right now, Borgata, it's the Giants.
Wow.
Who Get out. No.
The most, no. I'm serious.
No, that's
Who has the most
that,
tickets
oh,
written on them
no.
to win the conference?
I mean, that's St. Jude's money.
Giants.
That's St. Jude's money there. You just, you should give that to St. Jude's. That's not fair. That's not
it's really,
fair.
It's really crazy.
How do you
it's
take
really
that money
People
with a straight face?
With both hands here.
How do you take
People
that money with a straight face? I mean, how do you take that money with a straight face?
Hey, they call
face?
Him the stick-up kid. That's Thomas Gable. Stick him up.
I mean, you know, like, and here's what I'll say to those people, and here's what you have going for you. Over the last 3 years, they ranked 26th in wins. Over the last 3 years, they ranked 26th in wins. I mean, excuse me, 28th. In both years, they ranked 28th in win total. Like, they have demonstrated to no one over the last 5 years or over the last 3 years that they know what they're doing. And the Adoree Jackson trade is living proof and testimonial to they don't understand what they're doing. They live in the dark ages. You know, they could have had Adoree Jackson for a 7th compensatory pick. It would have been a 1-year salary they could have paid him. But no, we want to overpay him because, you know, the Eagles want him. The Eagles have no cap room to even get him. The Eagles were going to sign him to a $2 million contract at most. If the Eagles would have wanted him, they would have traded a 7th round pick for him. They were the Titans called every team in the league to try to give this guy away too.
I agree with you, Michael. I agree with you. And I think this number at 7 for season wins, I think that's right on the mark. They're probably a 7-10 team. But of course, we are taking money to the over, as expected from that from those adoring public for the Giants.
You know, I get that they're fans, but at some point, and I said this earlier in the show, Thomas, I mean, why is Mac Jones catching so much heat about being the third pick? And Daniel Jones, it's no problem that he's the sixth pick. No one says a word about that.
True. Very true. Good point.
110 up and down on the 7 on the Giants. Is Dallas, we had Dallas at 9. Where are you?
Yeah, 9. We have them at 9. 110, again, both ways here. Dallas is really going to come down to Prescott's health is going to be the deciding factor, and obviously in that season for them. And, what they do here in the draft. Michael, how are you leaning towards what Dallas is going to do with its draft?
I think they're going to take a corner. You know, could I see them trading up to get Pitts if they could? I don't know if they have enough arsenal. I think Jerry can't get there, but I think it's corner. I think it's either corner or defensive lineman, and I don't know if there's going to be a defensive lineman for them to take. They can't take a receiver. They're kind of in that in that spot where it's a receiver. I could see New England trading up to 10 with them to go get the receiver that they would want to pick, And then at 15, Dallas gets the corner, whether it's Horn or Surtain. But I think it's corner for Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely cannot take another receiver.
Well, here's what I do know. You can go over there and you can bet your Giants money. And Thomas Gable, like that picture, will have a big smile on his face. He's a nice guy anyway. Plus, he's building a beach house, and he's in a good mood. But he'll take your Giants money. Is that true, Thomas Gable?
I'll take it all day long.
And I won't have a mask and a gun. I will not have a mask or a gun.
He'll take it all day long.
That's the rumor. Man, that beach house. I can't wait for the invite this summer. Thanks in advance. Thomas Gable, director of the race and sports book at the Borgata.
Thomas, he's never leaving the house. Don't worry.
Have a good Sunday, TG.
Thanks,
Thomas.
Old beach house. Coming up next, Josh Applebaum. We call him Toto. He went to Africa once. He's got plays. Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. You can sign up right now. Bet $1 to win $100. Dodgers, Padres hit a home run. You're going to win the money paid for in free bets. Got to be 21 years or older. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text Redline. 800-889-9789. We welcome you back. Josh Applebaum, of course. Market Insights is the podcast. You can find it at beeson.com/podcast. Of course, he's an author. He's got a lot of nicknames. Des Moines, Toto.
Hazmat,
and all more.
Hey, by the way, how did the Hazmats do yesterday? Tell me how they did.
They did pretty good, Michael Lombardi. Yeah, Patrick, great to be with you. We did see the Chicago Bulls come through big. You know, that was kind of neck and neck there.
I saw that.
While with the Cavs, and then they kind of pulled away late. And then also, Michael, this is how good the Hazmats have been. Knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but you mentioned also the Washington Wizards yesterday. Wizards pulled away big against Patrick. I'm sorry, your Detroit Pistons here.
Yes.
But this just goes to show one system, guys, that I've been leaning on a lot and I think has been paying off recently. It's these short favorites that become more of a favorite. So position that both the Wizards and the Bulls were in yesterday. When you're a short favorite, -5 or less, you know, these teams right now, 135 and 114 ATS, 54%. But here's the kicker. You want some line movement toward these short favorites. You know, we saw yesterday with the Washington Wizards, you know, I think the Wizards were like 3.5 up to 4.5. And then we also saw the Bulls. They're like -1.5 up to -3. So if you're a short favorite, 5 or less, and the line is moving in your favor, you're about 60% ATS this season. So we do have a system match today, guys. A lot to get to. And Michael, I got an NFL draft prop for you coming up too.
Ooh, a tease.
All right, but I want to ask you a question. The Brooklyn Nets playing the Miami Heat today, 3:30 on the national game, right? So the line opened, I think, at 4. I think it opened at 4, and immediately has gone down to 3. Now it's 3.5. Would that qualify as a kind of like, is there steam on Brooklyn? I'm getting the sense that Brooklyn has a little steam on it, Josh.
Yeah, this is intriguing, Michael, because as you mentioned, you know, some books were, 4, 3.5 around there. We're starting to see it come back down a little bit, down to 3. To me, this is more injury based. You know, we do have Jimmy Butler, who's questionable. Iguodala's questionable. So if Butler's going to play, I think that might be the difference you're seeing. Because again, some books were like 4.5 down to 3.5, 3.5 down to 3. We know that there's no Harden, but you should have Durant and Kyrie. But we're gonna have to play this dance once again. That's a 3:30 game. Do we see, you know, on Twitter it breaks that, you know, Kyrie's got a birthday party or Kevin Durant's out? We got to monitor that. But it is interesting. You know, Jimmy Butler might be playing here. This line's moving a little bit to the Heat. That would have some movement on Miami if you want to sweat Miami here.
Okay, Josh. We continue. Pacers, Hawks. That's the first up as far as your plays. I don't know if it's a hazmat, but let's get into it.
Yeah, so just mentioned that system a minute ago that I'm really loving right now in the NBA, these short favorites with a line move. It matches with the Hawks here. So a couple intriguing things right now. Indiana, 26-29. They're the 9 seed. They're really fighting for their playoff lives. They'll probably get into that play-in tournament to have to fight for a spot. But Atlanta, surprisingly, they made the coaching change. They've been much better here with Nate McMillan. They're 7-2 their last 9. So you would match with Atlanta, number one. They open around -2.5. They're still 2.5, but we're starting to see this thing get up to 3. It's moving toward Atlanta here, and that's meaningful because, again, these short favorites, 54% ATS. You also have the line move that brings them up to about 60% ATS. They're in the same spot as both the Wizards and the Bulls yesterday. They do have a one-day rest advantage. Michael, I don't know if the Pacers went out. Pretty good nightlife, Patrick Maher told me, in Atlanta. So maybe that has something to do with this move here. But you also like Atlanta as a favorite, guys, quietly. 16-11 ATS is a favorite. 10-5 ATS at home as a favorite, and then a short favorite, 5 or less. They're 5-1 ATS. So you may get John Collins back here for the Hawks, and also the Pacers might be down both Turner and McDermott here. So I'd be looking at another money line play for me. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. These short favorites, if you want to, you know, kind of take away that worry that you may have that they may not cover the 2.5, around -145 money line. But Michael, what do you think? Can Trae Young get it done here for backers if they're looking at the Hawks?
I think that's the reason you want to make this play on Atlanta. I mean, the last time Trae Young played against Milwaukee, he was 3 of 17 from the floor. You know, I don't think that's going to happen again. I mean, the guy's too good of a shooter. You know, Miles Turner may be back, but we know McDermott's not going to be back, and whether they get Collins back or not. But to me, it's all about Trae Young. You know, you're not going to beat Milwaukee, one of the best teams in the East, when he shoots 3 for 17 from the floor. You know, and the bench got killed in that game, but they'll be better against Indiana. So I like the Hawks here because I'm counting on Trae Young lighting it up a little bit. And I don't think it's injury related why he shot bad. I just think he had a bad night shooting.
I'm just taking a look at a text from Josh Applebaum. He said, Patrick, you have to check out Magic City in Atlanta. I'll Google it. I don't know what it means. It looks like a gentleman's club. Thanks, Josh.
They have good wings, I heard. That's what Lou Williams
Lemon
had.
Pepper yeah. Lou. What up, Lemon Pepper Lou? Let's get to a baseball play. I want you to throw your prop at Michael as far as the NFL draft's concerned. Giants Marlins. Let's start there, Josh.
Yeah, just a couple games to keep an eye out. Big Sunday game here, a lot of day games. If you're like sweating baseball, Sunday's one of the best days of the week to be betting on baseball. I'm looking at the Marlins here, guys. You do have the Marlins. They're 7-7. San Fran's 8-6. Miami has been really good here getting plus money. You know, they won 4-1 in the first game. They won in extras. It was a heck of a sweat if you had Miami. They came back late and won yesterday. But I think this kind of is a sharp play to me with the Marlins that kind of goes into that gambler's fallacy territory of, hey, the Giants are good. They're above 500. They've dropped the first two. They have to bounce back and win this game here. However, you're seeing Miami with some steam. They open around -120. They're all the way up to -140. It's a match system I like, this non-division steam. 10 cents or more. It's about 58% this year. You also have an Alex Wood lefty who's making his debut this season. And in 2020, he did not pitch very well. He had about a 6.39 ERA. And I think you're really counting on Miami to continue to hit the ball. Their bats are they're hitting about 250 this year. That's 9th in baseball. And the San Francisco Giants, they're hitting 208. They're 28th in baseball. That's third worst in all of baseball. So I think it's like, why are the Marlins favored so much? But riding the hot hand, it looks like sharps are laying the wood here with the fish, Michael.
Yeah, but I think this, though, Josh, just not so fast. I mean, Pablo Lopez, I mean, he's been a fixture in their rotation the last 3 years, but has he been really reliable? I mean, the last time he played, he gave up 6 runs in 4 innings, and the Braves just pounded him. You know, I know he's been one of their better pitchers, but if you look at his trajectory over the last 3 years, it hasn't been very good. You know, Alex Wood will make his debut. He pitched, you know, in his career, he's 6-4 with a 2.77 ERA in those 12 starts. So, I mean, I get where you're going from. I'm just not as comfortable with Pablo Lopez being able to be the dominant pitcher to win this game.
You bring up a great point, Michael. And one other thing I want to mention just with Will Hill earlier, this is the importance of when you're betting baseball, make sure you bet listed pitcher, not action. Because, Patrick, you mentioned this. We did see Strasburg scratched earlier. When Strasburg was scheduled to start, you look at Washington, they're a -200 favorite. He's been scratched. Now they're putting in this guy, Paolo Espino, and now the line is down to -140. So if you had bet action early on Washington, you'd be locked into that -200, even though you're getting a different pitcher going here. So just a word of caution here. If you're betting baseball, make sure you double check before you hit submit. You always want that listed pitcher, not action, because action will get you tied into a bet that maybe a guy gets scratched and you don't like it anymore. At least with listed pitcher, even if a guy gets scratched, if you still like it, you can just go bet it again. That's the key here. But you would hate to be locked into, you know, Nats at minus 200 now with Strasburg out.
Great lesson. And by the way, I think you might have just learned your lesson. You better pack a big lunch if you're going to come at Mr. Baseball and just think he's going to go. Like, I mean, you just came at him and he came back with Pablo.
I know. I'm just trying to talk about the game. You know, I mean, you got it. If you want to go with Lopez, I mean, go ahead with him. But you know, the last 3 years he hasn't pitched as well as he had. That's what the numbers say. I'm just going with the numbers, Patrick. You know,
I'm just telling.
Baseball is a number game. I'm just saying.
You want to hang in this park? You're going to have to pack a big lunch, Applebaum. You got a prop you want to throw at Michael?
I do. I want to throw a prop at Michael. And don't worry, Michael. I got two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. We can go all day on the diamond here, my man. So we're good. Well, Michael, I wanted to throw this at you. I think we're getting.
Let's play two.
I know. And too bad we're up against it. I can't give you my Cubs play and my Casey Royals play. But this is more important because today, talking a lot of football, you guys have been doing a great job talking win totals. Thank you, Michael. I want to get your take on Kyle Pitts here, because what's intriguing to me, and I was talking to Mike Pritchard, we were hosting a show, Betting Across America, earlier this week. He kind of liked a flyer on Pitts. Not that you expect to maybe win it, but 50-1 to go third overall. And Mike Pritchard's connection here was the assistant coach of the 49ers, John Embry. He's the assistant coach. He's a tight ends coach. And also, you know, Pritchard has talked about how he thinks Embry is the best tight end coach in all of the NFL. So it's 50-1 to go third overall. I don't know if, you know, a football team's going to, you know, trade up to get a tight end here, but it just got me thinking on Pitts's draft position, Michael. Right now it's 5.5. And you're really looking at Atlanta, Cincinnati, Miami, that 4-5-6 combination here. The under on Pitts is -115. So, Michael, what do you think on Kyle Pitts? Is he worthy of trading up for? And do you like him going, you know, anywhere 1-5 to cash that under 5.5?
You cannot trade two number ones in future years for a tight end. You just can't do that. I don't care if the tight end's name's John Mackey. You can't do that. You just can't do that. That makes no sense at all. You're just basically throwing away, especially when you have George Kittle on the team. You know, I mean, like, seriously, I know we need a tight, you know, it would be great to have two great tight ends, but to trade up two number one ass, two picks, we found Kittle in the fifth round. Can't we do that again? Can't we find another player like Kittle? Maybe not quite as good. So I don't see Pitts at three. And they've already said they're coming out with a quarterback. Now, there's conspiracy theories abound about that. I think Pitts is at four. I think Monday's a big day on the Pitts pick at four. The Atlanta's going to bring a bunch of people to North Dakota to watch Lance throw. I know Fontenot, and there's people in their organization that really, really want to consider drafting the quarterback. Arthur Smith is in love with Matt Ryan. He doesn't want to go that way because, like most coaches, they don't want to rebuild. They want to kind of reload. They want to go with what they have, and they want to be able to do that. I think Monday's the big day. I like Pitts under. I think Pitts goes under that number. I think if he gets to four, I think Atlanta will eventually take him at four because they feel like he's the best player.
Josh, two baseball plays on the way out. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Yeah, just want to mention real quick, a lot of steam on the KC Royals here. Kansas City has gone from around, I think they're like -115 to like -130 now. And also Sunday Night Baseball, there's a good trend on home favorites with line moves. The Cubbies here at night playing under the lights. Cubs have gone from -115 to -130 with Hendricks
loving the
against
Cubbies.
A young. Yeah, let's go.
Loving the
Michael,
Cubbies.
Let's go. Let's go on the rooftop.
Loving the Cubbies today. Loving them.
Nice
loving
work.
Them.
Nice
but
work.
We got bumped by Marquee for the Cubs pregame show, so we got to love them.
Nice work, Toto. Nice work,
love
Mr.
It.
Baseball.
Thank you, Patrick.
Have a good Sunday.
So much.
Shout out to Dominic. Brady and Wes next. The pregame show.